For me, I love helping people. I love trying my best to assist others. And, you know, if there's something that I've learned, I definitely want to spread this information and even educate another peer. So that's why I try my best to become a big sister in the community.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast hosted by Thaisa Fernandes.
Welcome to Latinx in Power. Today, we are talking with Gilda McKenzie. Gilda has honored her expertise in the telecommunications industry for 4 years, consistently refining her skills in customer service, sales, telecommunications, and team organization. Through her extensive experience, she has acquired a deep understanding of the intricacies of the industries, as well as unparalleled ability to deliver exceptional results. Welcome, Gilda. I'm so happy to have you here.
Hi, everyone. Really nice to be here as well. Thank you for inviting me.
In this episode, Gilda will share her background and how she got started in the telecommunications industry. She also talked about her skills in customer service and how she has developed and refined those skills over time. I'm so excited with this conversation. So in this season, I have been talking with a lot of people who may or may not identify as Latino, Latina, Latine, and Latinx, I guess. And since this is a self identify term, I'm curious if you consider yourself as a Latina. I know you also have Honduran heritage, and I'd love to hear your experience and how you feel connected with the Latin America culture.
Yes, I wouldn't necessarily identify myself as Latina, as I was born and raised in Belize. And Belize is located in Central America, and we are the only English-speaking country in Central America. However, we are filled with many diverse cultures, so I would identify myself as a Creole person. I mix with Belizean as well as Honduran from my mother's side, as geographically we are located in the Americas, but not included in Latin America. So what it means to me to be a Latina would mostly come from experiencing the culture and exposure that I got from my mother. And that's how I feel connected to the community, with sharing the love from my mom's roots, eating the traditional food, the music, and the overall upbringing.
Incredible. And you're also bilingual, right? You speak English and Spanish as well. Do you speak Spanish with your mom?
Yes, I speak Spanish.
Very, very cool. And can you tell us about your background and how you got started in the telecommunications industry?
Of course. So truthfully, I started off working at one of the call centers here in Belize. And call centers are a type of business that uses telecommunication technology to operate. So while telecommunications is like a broader field that encompasses the technology and systems used in the call centers, throughout the years of working there, I received multiple trainings in PCI compliance, cybersecurity, and even for HIPAA violations. And with these skills acquired, I was able to work with different clients that allowed us to provide services to their companies. I was also transferred to a tech account, and they were able to train us to assist our customers accurately. So for me, I feel like the call centers here in Belize are beneficial because, being truthful, I did not study IT, or I wasn't even sure how I ended up here in the industry. But given the experience and the ability to train, because they train us for these campaigns, that's how I gained my experience.
That's very cool. So you did a bunch of different trainings. That's incredible. Do you support your clients in both languages, or it's mainly in English?
Sometimes. As a bilingual representative, I'm able to work in either field. That's the part that creates the diversity. I know for the most part, recently, I was working as a technical support specialist where I was assisting our customers through chats and Spanish. So I was doing bilingual chats and customer support.
Very, very cool. Very inspiring. And how do you balance the needs of your customers, team members, and stakeholders in your work? And what strategies have you found most effective for managing priorities?
I really like this question because, as a person that was able to grow and climb up the ladder to a leadership position, one of the goals is to train your team efficiently to the point where they believe that they can function without you. for me, I love being able to say that that person grew from under me and they were able to get promoted or even transferred to another department. When it comes to my customers, I know what it's like not getting the most satisfactory service, which is why I ensure that my team display all the best customer service. They display empathy. We also ensure that all our customers are happy with the solution that we provide for them. One of the important things for me with my stakeholders is to let them know that their metrics that they provided to us are met and it's guaranteed. I also try my best to manage all my work by ensuring the use of time management and being detail oriented so I don't fall behind.
Those are really, really good tips. And what are your strategies in terms of prioritization? For example, you have like competing priorities. Which advice would you give to someone? Because I feel those skills and you can use in any job, like in any job, you need to learn how like work with different stakeholders, balance priorities. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts about it.
From my experience, it's being able to understand specifically what are your metrics and what are your key point indicators. And that would basically help you outline what your day is going to be like. If you know that these are certain metrics that you need to meet within a certain time frame, I'm going to know, okay, in the morning session, I know that I have an hour to review emails, whether there were incoming emails from yesterday or incoming emails from this morning. I'm going to sort those out in folders. I'm a really detailed person. I like to keep things very organized. So you organize your emails in different folders. That is one way to help you throughout the day. It's more like to guide you. I also keep a notebook with me. So I jot down little notes on what I'm going to do. If I need to review anything with my agents, if I need to review anything on the account that's pending, or all the little things, I just try to write them down so I can keep it in a format. And that was what was able to help me.
Incredible. Those are really, really good tips. And I know that you like to also give back to the community. So can you talk more about the volunteer work that you have been involved?
I love to. So I am in a group. It's called PAWA. Here in Belize, it stands for Productive Organization for Women in Action. I've actually been a member since I was only 12 years old. It was organized by Miss Michelle Irvin. And when it started, it was for little girls in the community to participate in sessions in dealing with self-esteem, healthy relationships, sex and sexuality, teenage pregnancies, sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. We also engage in the Garfin Settlement Day, which is an activity in Belize celebrated on November 19th. As we participate in the ceremonies, we sing the cultural songs, we participate in cleaning activities within the town. I try to be an active member in my community. For example, I've participated in becoming a peer educator through PAWA, and I've assisted with the National Emergency Management Organization of Belize in conducting the Vulnerability Assessment Survey in 2014.
Whoa, that's incredible. I think another thing we have been talking through the seasons, a lot of people that I'm interviewing, they do a lot of volunteer work. And I think this is incredible. It's incredible to give back to the community, to work in something that you truly love and also help people. And also another thing that we have been talking that I think it's very interesting as well is how you learn and develop new skills via volunteer work. And this is amazing because you can translate those skills into your work as well, or maybe even like apply for promotion or transition to a new area because you also gain all those skills and experience via volunteer work. So I think this is another testament for folks to keep that in mind. And how was your process since you have volunteered for a long time and like finding a community that you like and you like to help as well?
I've always been an activist. So when I found these organizations, I'm like, this is where I belong. Like, for example, here we have the Red Cross and here in Belize. I am currently in the process of applying so I can be another volunteer member for them. For me, I love helping people. I love trying my best to assist others. And, you know, if there's something that I've learned, I definitely want to spread this information and even educate another peer. So that's why I try my best to become a big sister in the community.
Incredible. I love that. It's so interesting because when I found you on LinkedIn, I was so impressed with your experience. And also, it really caught my eye because I could see, oh, she's an activist. This is so cool. So I got so excited. So I think this is another reminder for folks who are listening to us to keep that in mind. Volunteer work is super cool and you can help communities, and you can also fulfill yourself in different ways that sometimes work won't be able to do, I feel. So just a reminder for all of us to keep that in mind, I guess. And which advice would you give to someone just deciding out in their careers and how they can build a strong foundation for success in the industry? Which advice would you give?
One of the best pieces of advice that I could give someone is to be teachable and to be proactive and to also use the power of networking to your advantage. One of the ways to establish a strong foundation for success in this industry is to be able to be credible, to complete trainings that is available to you, whether it's something from within your organization or even from external resources. Now that we're advancing in a technological era, you can be certified from places such as Google or Coursera, and being certified puts you at a high advantage along with your skills as well as experience.
Yes, that's incredible. I love what you said. Be teachable and proactive. That's amazing. And I think this is what every employer is looking for, right? But I understand that sometimes for folks who maybe they are more introvert, being proactive or teachable, it might be challenging. So I wonder, which tips would you give to someone that those skills doesn't come naturally?
From experience, I can tell you that even though I may sound confident, sometimes I get really shy with public speaking or having to present something in front of a large crowd. So what I end up training myself to do is to ensure that if you are unsure or you're trying to ask for assistance and you don't know how to get it across, is to write it down. There's absolutely no wrong way in writing down your question and meeting your peer or your boss on a one-to-one level. Like, hey, I would appreciate if this is something that we could review or we can go over. And, you know, they're always willing to help. That is something that I've learned in this industry. You may not have started in there, you know, expecting to learn tech, but once you're in, someone will always, you know, show you the ropes and guide you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's incredible. I really like that. I understand, like, for introverted folks, I'm an introverted myself, and I can definitely relate to what you said because I definitely enjoy, like, writing down even my thoughts. I think it's a way that I process better the information. So, yeah, that's a really good tip, writing down and talking with a one-on-one setting with the person, your manager, whoever it is. I think this is really, really good advice. I really like that. Gilda, do you have any personal goals or aspirations that you're currently working towards that you'd like to share with us?
Right now, one of my personal goals that I'm currently working towards is being to gain a little bit more exposure and being able to freelance independently for other clients within the US and being able to provide my services from here in Belize. I'm also working, like I mentioned earlier, and becoming a big sister for the young women in my community, or even virtually for someone that needs someone to talk to. I try to make myself available for someone that just needs a listening ear, whether it could be about mental health or overall taboo topics that people would normally steer away from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that it's so incredible that we are talking more about it, especially mental health. But I feel in certain communities, for the Latinx community, I feel for sure that it's still, there's a lot of stigma, and sometimes it's really hard to even start the conversations. I'm the one that I try to bring this conversation, for example, with my family, and it's very hard. What are your thoughts about it? Like, how do you usually start this conversation about mental health when you're trying to help someone? Or which advice would you give, I guess, for someone who wants to talk about it with their family?
For me, I know that I personally struggle with anxiety and depression. I've had numerous panic attacks out in public, and it was very difficult to explain to people that I wasn't able to properly process my emotions, or I couldn't articulate my words properly. And I did a lot of reading. I also did therapy, and I tried to make my peers know that there's no shame in asking for help. I read a lot of self-help books that helped me. I did different coping mechanisms at home. I write a lot. I journal, I write poems, and I share it amongst my friends. And we kind of support each other in that way. I remember as young as being 13, 14, I sat down with my dad one day and I tried to explain to him that, hey, I feel like I'm depressed. And to which, you know, the older generation response was, you know, what do you have to be depressed about? You know, you have food, you have shelter. What is there to be depressed about? And that made me close off myself a little bit. But I was like, if I don't speak on it, he'll never understand. So I had to explain it to him. It took a while for him to get there, but I sat down and I explained to him that this is what I'm feeling. And yes, even though you're providing this for me, there are other reasons externally why I'm being affected. And it took him to actually see me being vulnerable to understand. Because I feel like with mental health, we tend to portray the strong outlook out there that we're okay, when in reality, we're battling the storm inside. So I try to let those around me understand that they don't have to, that I'm here to help them and we'll do it together. Even if you don't know how, we'll figure it out.
I really like that. It's definitely a difficult conversation. It's a subject that maybe for older generations, it might be challenging. And also, I don't know, I really like what you said, that it took many conversations. And I think maybe this is one strategy, right? Because even like myself, sometimes I get frustrated because I started the conversation. For example, I have been talking with my mom and trying to make her go to therapy. And she's very open-minded about a lot of things, but not about therapy. And sometimes it's frustrating because you try to talk, but maybe a good strategy is just initiating this conversation and being vulnerable and talking and sharing your experience, and also understanding that you can take action for yourself, but you cannot take action from someone else because the other person needs to decide to go to therapy, whatever they need to do, and be okay with that. But definitely talking and creating your community, as you were saying, your friends, and writing down and sharing your poems. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. So I'm really enjoying this conversation. I love that we brought the mental health topic as well. So, and another thing that I always like to ask my guests is about resources, because I feel that resources definitely a game changer, and it can be different things for different people, and I feel that are always very valuable. So I'm curious, which resource helped you in your journey? Is there anything you want to share with us?
Yes, I've definitely read several self-help books. I've had a couple fave. Currently in here in the stream and the topic that we're on, I once read an excerpt from one of my peer-to-boss trainings and I wanted to read more about it. So I just tried to Google it to see where I was able to find it. And I stumbled across this book called Peer Today, Boss Tomorrow. It's Navigating Your Changing Role by Laura E. Bernstein. And I think that it's essential that when you're transitioning into a new role, it's expected that you're going to feel a bit queasy and just in the early stages, especially when those that you've built bonds with or even those friendships will feel like they would change, but they shouldn't change in your new position. Like your friends, they would be able to respect your new boundary and understand the new pressure that you'll be under. Because I can share from personal experience that when I started in this industry, I was really young. I was 19. And within the first 6 months, I had grown up the ladder and I got a team lead position. Now, the people that were working under me were older than me. They had more experience than me. Some of them even felt intimidated by how could I possibly get that position. So you feel very nervous, you feel a little bit intimidated. There's even instances where you're in a position where you have to do a coaching sessions with your agents that used to be your friends, or those hard discussions about disciplinary actions where you feel really guilty. But one thing that I've understood is that nothing should change. If they're really your friends, they would understand the boundaries that comes at the work. And at the end of the day, it's a job. So that's one of the books. It's called Peer Today and Boss Tomorrow, Navigating Your Changing Role by Laura.
Incredible. That's a really good advice. And yeah, definitely a book I'll put in my list for sure. Thank you so much, Gilda. It was incredible getting to know more about you, your journey. It's very, very inspiring. And thank you for sharing and being vulnerable with us. So I'm going to leave the last minutes for you to share anything you want to share and also where people can find you.
Of course. So you could find me on LinkedIn by my name, Gilda McKenzie. I'm right here in Belize. You can also find me on Instagram if you're looking for a big sister to talk to. My username is Gilders, and that is spelled GILDERSSS. I'm always available for anyone that would like to talk.
Thank you so much. That was incredible.
Thank you for having me.